All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6. And take your message notes out of your bulletin. If you're visiting with us this morning, inside your bulletin, you should find a white insert that has the points and the scriptures, most of the scriptures that we're going to look at. And if you're using the blue Bible in the chair rack in front of you, turn to page 737 because we're going to look at the portion of the Sermon on the Mount here in just a minute, because we are in a very important series called Strength for Stressful Times. A series aimed at answering the question, does God give us in His Word any solutions for the stress that we face in this life? Or asked another way, does God care about the stress in my life, and has He given any advice that I can follow to help alleviate that stress? Well, the good news is the answer is yes. And not only yes, but God has given us more solutions for our stress than we probably realize. And so that is why we are spending several weeks looking in God's Word for those solutions. Now, week one, we looked at what do you do when the stress in your life is so heavy that you just think you're going to break. We realized the solution is to take our focus off the stress and place our focus on God, who cares about us and has the strength to help us through any stressful circumstances. And then just last week, Kristen did a great job of taking us through the first chapter of Philippians, where the Apostle Paul helps us to understand that there is a perspective of joy that we can live our lives regardless of our circumstances and our stress. That joy is a choice and is actually the perspective in which God intends for us to live. This morning, we are going to talk about another aspect of stress that must be addressed in a series such as this. The aspect of stress I'm referring to is worry. Worry is a type of stress that involves concerning ourselves with future events before they come to pass. Stressing over events that we often have little to no control over, yet in some cases we worry so much over these events that we stress ourselves out. Now, I recognize that I'm probably talking to just a few people this morning, that worry doesn't really impact most of our lives. So I thought it would be helpful to point out some examples of worrying about the future so that hopefully more people here this morning can relate. So what are some worries about the future that cause stress in our lives? I know not for you, but you know, for other people. What are some things that people stress about into the future?
Martial law.
Martial law. Hello. If I'd ever thought about that, I might have worried. Thanks, John. Okay. What else might we worry about into the future?
Health.
Health. Yep. For a lot of us, that's a big question, a big worry. How's my health going to hold up into the future? Yes. My family, my kids, my grandkids, are they going to be okay? Are they going to experience the life that I hope and I have dreams and aspirations for them? Absolutely. What else? What are some other worries? What's that? Right. Finances, housing, all those things that we need, we worry, am I going to have enough? Am I going to have enough into retirement? And once I'm in retirement, am I going to have enough to last me until I leave this earth? Am I going to have enough that if I need to move in to a care facility, assisted living place, will I have enough? Any other worries that you know that some people have about the future? I think those are the biggies. I think the biggies is we stress over our finances, our health. We stress over those that we care about and we love. We want things to work out good in their lives. And I just heard somebody, and I picked up on it, Mary. Another big stress that we have is government, right? Yes. Is our government going to do the right things? Are they going to do what we hope that they would do? Now, there are lots and lots of different stresses that we can worry about in the future. But what I want to do this morning is I want to first start with the words of Jesus Christ Himself. See what it is that He had to say about worry, and then we're going to talk about how is it that we can follow His advice. We find it in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. Listen to these words. Follow along if you have your Bibles open. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? The answer is no, but they can take away from your life. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. And then listen to this. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Anybody want to give a testimony to that? But I want you to notice here that Jesus actually says, don't worry. Now, worry is optional. It is not something that we have to do. And not only do we not have to do it, but Jesus actually says right here on the Sermon on the Mount, not this, that worry is optional. He says, don't. Don't worry about the future. And so I want to ask the next most obvious question. Okay, Jesus, how on earth are we supposed to do that? Right? If Jesus said, I don't want you to worry, how on earth are we supposed to do that? And what I want to share with you this morning is the way in which you and I can follow the command here of Jesus not to worry is only one way, and that is to live according to the promises of God. That the only way that we are going to be able to live our life and not worry about the future is that we understand and know His promises. And as Christians, we have a distinct advantage in this area over those who do not believe in God and haven't trusted their lives to Jesus Christ. In fact, I would say if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you do have a lot to worry about. Now, I think one of the best reasons for being a follower of Jesus is God has made some amazing promises to those who believe. Promises that are like blank checks ready to be cashed for those who by faith choose to accept and live by His promises. But you can't benefit from God's promises if you don't know what they are. So this morning I want to share with you five promises that specifically address this area of stress called worry. Promises that you can cash in the next time you feel worry creep into your mind and your heart. So why? Why you don't have to worry about the future? Well, promise number one is that God will be with me when I'm distressed. God promises to be with me when I'm distressed because nobody can predict what is going to happen in the future. Whether it's 5 years, 5 months, or 5 days from now, nobody can predict the circumstances that you are going to experience in the future. But one thing is for sure, and you can take this promise to the bank, that no matter what you go through in the future, you will not go through it alone. God will be with you. And this is a basic truth that is taught over and over throughout the Bible. Now, there's no doubt that many times we don't feel His presence because we're not looking for it. But that doesn't change the fact that God wants and will be with you regardless of your circumstances. And another fact of life is that in the future, it is very likely that you will go through times of loneliness when people leave you intentionally and unintentionally. And many of you have experienced what I'm talking about, especially when it comes to the death of a loved one. When you lose someone close to you, the feeling of grief and loneliness can be excruciating unless you depend on the promise of God that He will be with you. Listen to these words in Isaiah 43:2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. You see, there are times that spouses walk out the door. Friends move away. Children grow up and leave the home. All these experiences can leave us worrying about being alone in the future. And the fear of abandonment of being left alone can be a tremendous worry for many people. But the Bible is clear. Through deep waters, through the fires of oppression, God will be with you. Jesus said it this way in John 16:33. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. You see, when Jesus is near, you lose your fear. And we can face very difficult and distressing situations when we know we're not alone, and you are never alone when you have put your trust in Jesus Christ. And let me point out that actually, a Christian who worries about the future is actually a poor testimony to unbelievers. You see, when you worry and your non-Christian friends see that, they must conclude that your life is really no different than theirs. They know they worry about the future. And if they don't see you trusting God for your future, then what do you have that they don't? And I want to suggest that we as Christians, we have an amazing opportunity in the upcoming cycle of elections and the upcoming election this year. We have an amazing opportunity to be light in a state in which people are worried sick. I have never heard more comments and more rhetoric about our candidates that are up for election this year and what's going to happen if either one of them get into office. Both sides are saying, I can't even imagine a world in which Donald Trump has his finger on the button. I've heard that. I've also heard people say, I can't imagine what this country is going to come to if Hillary Clinton gets in office. And I want to say, folks, it doesn't matter who the president of the United States is. I don't care how powerful our country is. It's God that's in control. Amen? And so it is not a president of a country or anyone else that we put our hope in. If we do, we've got lots to worry about. And no wonder people are worrying. But folks, as Christians, we have God. We have God who has promised that He will be with us. And so let me suggest that if you struggle with this very real worry about the future and being alone, then I would recommend that you go home this afternoon and you make some signs or some posters or little post-it notes or whatever it is that you use, and you put them all around the house, maybe on the refrigerator, on the mirrors, even in your car, just a simple sign or poster or note that just says, God is with me right now. God is with me right now. I am not alone. Because when you remember that, many of our fears and worries go right out the window. God promises that He will be with me when I'm distressed. That's the first promise. But not only that, number two, He promises that God will watch over me when I'm confused. God will watch over me when I'm confused. And there is no doubt that life is becoming more and more complex and confusing. Would you agree with that? And it's pretty easy to worry about what that complexity may become in the future. And wondering, how am I going to keep up? And it's not hard to imagine that life is going to get more confusing in the future. In fact, I just experienced it just recently. We all have had these little phones that we carry around, and they call them what? Smartphones, right? Smartphones. You know why they call them smartphones? Because they're smarter than me, right? And then I just realized the other day, and my boys were so excited for this. They said that we finally left the dark ages and we traded in our old tube TV. You know those TVs that are about that wide? And we got a flat screen. And they were so excited. But you know what I didn't understand about that TV when I bought it and brought it home and then I turned it on? Guess what it said on the front of the TV? Smart TV. Are you kidding me? Now not only my phone, but my TV is smarter than me? And I just realized, my boy showed me the other night, that my phone and my TV can actually talk to each other. I don't need my phone and my TV talking to each other. I just need my phone to talk to you, and I need my TV to watch a sports program from time to time. And yet that's the way our world is going, isn't it? More and more and more complex and more confusing. So how are we to manage the future in all of this confusion? Well, remember when you were in school and somewhere around your junior or senior year, you would start meeting with a guidance counselor. And the whole purpose of those meetings was to help you begin to navigate your future. For someone who has already been there, done that, to help you consider the best decisions for your future. Now, The problem is, can a guidance counselor really even have a clue how to best advise a 16, 17, 18-year-old person 10, 20, or 30 years into the future? No. Even the best guidance counselors have very little understanding of what you are going to face in the future. And the thought of the future can cause great confusion and worry, and not just for adolescent males and females. But here's the good news. There is someone who truly knows what the future holds for you, for your life. And He promises to be your guidance counselor. Psalm 32:8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. You see, in the future, you are going to have new challenges, new struggles, and even great new opportunities. And since you've never experienced them before, you will wrestle with many decisions. What's the right choice to make? What's the right direction to go? So where are you going to go to get advice to help you make those decisions? Well, let's think about it. Let's see. Some people get advice from talk shows like Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil and others. Some people listen to talk radio or read magazines for advice. Some people consult a palm reader or their horoscope. Some people depend on their friends or family for advice who are just as confused about the future as you are. Some people just depend on themselves to have the wisdom to know the right answers to life's future questions. Or you can trust someone who isn't bound by time or space and has already seen the future and knows exactly what's going to happen. God. The best way to relieve the worry of the future is to have the right perspective, to have the big picture. And since God already knows the future, then I would recommend that He be your guidance counselor. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. I love that translation, the Good News translation there. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and He will show you the right way. You see, the reason we don't have to worry about the future is because of what God has promised those who have put their trust in Him. That He will be with us in our distress. That He will watch over us in our confusion into the future. That He will also, number three, God will go before me when I am afraid. God will go before me when I'm afraid. And there is a common fear among many people that even though God has taken care of me up to this point in my life, I can't deny that. But what about the future? I'm afraid there is something coming that I'm not going to be able to handle either financially, emotionally, relationally, physically, etc. And we hear of tragic stories in other people's lives and we fear those same things happening to us in the future. But we don't have to, because listen to this promise in Deuteronomy 31:8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Would you underline the phrase in that verse on your message notes? The Lord will personally go ahead of you. Folks, that is a promise. A promise that He gave to His people, the Israelites, many, many years ago, and the same promise that He gives us today. As it pertains to His chosen people, the Israelites, you see, they were coming out of 400 years of slavery, and God wanted to give them a new land, the promised land, a place that they didn't know how to get there or where it was. And He said, well, here's how this is going to work. I want you to build a tabernacle, a place where you could worship Me. It was just basically a tent. And He said, I am going to place My very presence in that place. And by day, His presence was seen in a cloud. And by night, it was a pillar of fire. And His presence went before His people, showing them and guiding them, directing them in the way that God wanted them to go. Now, let's use an illustration that may be more personal to us. When your kids were little and they thought they heard an odd noise coming from their bedroom or say inside the house when you came home late at night, who did they want to go first? You. They were willing to sacrifice you. Because if the boogie monster was real, they wanted you to go first. And when you were willing to go first and go before them, it relieved their worry and their fear. What about when you're traveling somewhere unknown? Maybe you're going to go to somebody's house to have dinner and you've never been there before, but another one of your mutual friends has already been there and you're going to follow them. They are going to go before you and lead you to that house. Do you worry about getting there? No. No. Because they know the way and they're going before you. And that is exactly what God has promised in our lives, that He would go before us. Isaiah 65:24 says, "I will provide for their needs before they ask, and I will help them while they are still asking for help." That means that God goes before me into the future and begins taking care of my needs before I get there, and even while I'm asking. Now, that doesn't mean that because God goes before me, I won't deal with some difficult things. But the truth that should alleviate our worry is that no matter what happens, God will go before me and provide all I need when I get there. In fact, Jesus has promised to go before us not only in this life, but also the life to come. John 14:1-2 says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you?" You see, God is going to go before us in this life and the next. And so we don't have to worry. We don't have to fret and stress out, because God will lead us into the future. And then there's a fourth and very important promise as well that maybe we don't think about regularly. Maybe we don't even deal with this on a regular basis. I hope you don't, but here is the truth. God has promised that He will fight for me when I'm attacked. That God will fight for me when I'm attacked. You see, another worry that we have is being criticized by others, being mistreated, betrayed, or even attacked. And when we face those kinds of worries, we need this promise that God will fight for me, because it's a very normal reaction to want to get even with those who attack and hurt us. We want revenge. We want retribution. Now, I said this is a normal reaction, but it's not the right reaction. Because all you're doing while trying to figure out how to retaliate and to get even is you're worrying about the injustice and how to make it right. So the next time someone attacks you, remember two things. First, remember who was ultimately in charge. David said in Psalm 118:6, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" There have been times in my life that I have been challenged or criticized or run down. And how helpful it is to remind ourselves of this promise, that I don't have to worry about making that right. I don't have to try to get even, because what can mere mortals do to those that have put their trust in Jesus Christ? You see, one plus God is a majority. And you don't need the approval of other people to be happy. Our attitude should be, God likes me, and I like me. So if someone doesn't like me, that's their problem, not mine. Because God's approval of me is the only one that matters. The second thing that you need to do is let God settle the score. And don't worry about revenge. Psalm 18:17-18 says, "He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me at a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord supported me." Now, not only will other people attack you in the future, but so will Satan. Because he loves to do anything he can to attack you at just the right time, in just the right way, to keep you worrying and being far less than who God created you to be. You see, he loves to throw temptations in your path that would lead you away from God. Have you ever been praying? Have you ever tried to have a time of spirituality? Maybe you're sitting down having your quiet time, you're reading your Bible or you're praying, and all of a sudden you have a thought come into your mind and you're like, "What on earth is that?" One of the most vile, disgusting things comes into your mind at that very moment that you're trying to pray and you're like, "What on earth is going on?" I'll tell you what on earth is going on. Satan is at work in your life. He's trying to do everything he possibly can to derail you, to short circuit you from being the creation that God desires for you to be. And so listen to these words in 1 Corinthians 10 that refer directly to Satan's attacks on us. But remember this, The wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you, and no temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it, for He has promised this and will do what He says. He will show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. You see, God has promised that even though we are going to deal with temptation in this life, that there is no temptation that He is going to allow Satan to bring into our life, that He is not going to show us a way to overcome it. Folks, that is good news, that God will fight for me when I'm attacked, whether by man or by spiritual forces. He will fight for me. And then there's one final promise that maybe we don't think about often enough, but it's one that we worry about and we need to understand, and that is promise number 5, that God will work in me until I am completed. That God will work in me until I am completed. Now, folks, you may not have given this promise much thought, but for the follower of Jesus, this is great news. Because I happen to know that for many of us, we feel so inadequate to live the life that God has called us to live. You read certain portions of the Bible and feel so convicted that I need to be that type of person, but then quickly begin to worry that you'll never be able to measure up to God's expectations. Yes, it is possible to even worry about your relationship with God. In fact, people do it all the time. And that worry holds them back from the full life and relationship with God that He wants us to experience. And so listen to these words in Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And so let me ask you, whose responsibility is it for your spiritual maturity, yours or Jesus? I think the Bible's pretty clear. That it is He that began a good work, that He is going to finish it. Yes, we have free will and we need to cooperate, no doubt about that, and we ought to do it every single day. But the bottom line is that I don't have to even worry about my growth and maturity because Jesus has promised that He who began a good work within me will continue His work until the day is finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. But Pastor Allen, what if I blow it? What if I really blow it? Well, folks, you are going to blow it. But salvation is not based on what you do. It's based on what Jesus already did for you. John 10:28 says, I give them real and eternal life. They are protected from the destroyer for good. No one can steal them from out of my hand. So let me ask you a very important question. Is there anything impossible for God? What do you think? Is there anything impossible for God? Some of you are shaking your heads. No. I see a few yeses. Uh-oh. We've got division in the camp. Okay. It's kind of a trick question, okay? Because it's right to say in one sense that there is nothing impossible for God. But did you know there is something that is impossible for God? It is absolutely, utterly impossible for God to break a promise. He can't do it. The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. Why? Because we know that He is the truth. He doesn't just have some truth. He doesn't just teach truth. That He is the truth. And because He is the truth, it is absolutely impossible for God to break any promise, including the 5 promises that we've talked about this morning. The benefits of knowing Jesus Christ. They're the benefits of salvation. God says, when you put your trust in my Son, I will be with you when you're distressed. And that's the promise of His presence. That God will watch over you when you're confused, that's the promise of His peace. That God will go before you when you're afraid, that's the promise of His provision. That He will fight for you when you're attacked, that's the promise of protection. And God will work in you until you're completed, and that's the promise of His power. And so here's the bottom line. In light of all that God has promised to do in your life and in your future, what are you worried about? Name one thing that isn't covered by these 5 promises. You see, if you know God, you don't need to worry. Really, the question is, are you going to trust Him? That's it. Are you going to trust God, or are you going to act like an atheist? As if God doesn't matter, that you don't have a heavenly Father, that you're a spiritual orphan, that He doesn't care a rip about you, and He doesn't have the power to do anything about it. Are you going to act like an atheist, or are you going to act like a child of God? Are you going to trust Him, or are you going to worry? That's what it boils down to. If you trust God, the strength will be there at the very moment that you need it. Now, I recognize that for us to put our trust in someone else, we have to have a certain level of comfort or assurance that that person has my best interest at heart, that they care about me, that they love me, that they are interested in me. It's hard to put our trust in somebody that we have not yet understood or felt that. And so if you have yet in your life to feel the amazing love of God, feel the manner in which He truly cares for you, I would ask you, I would beg you to listen very, very closely to the words in Isaiah chapter 46. Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all who are left of my people. I have cared for you from the time you were born. I am your God and will take care of you until you are old and your hair is gray. I made you and will care for you. I will give you help and rescue you. To whom will you compare me, says the Lord? Is there anyone else like me? See, God has not only given us these five promises, but He's also clearly told us in His Word how desperately He loves us. He loved us so much that He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross, that our sins could be forgiven and we could be back in a right relationship with Him. That's how much He loves you. And so in light of His love for you and in light of His promises, I ask you again, what on earth is there for us to worry about? If you want to stop worrying about your future, you just need to do three things. First of all, you need to admit. Just admit that you are a worrier. Don't rationalize it. Don't try to hide it. Just admit that you worry. Then ask. Ask God to help you, to give you the strength that you need to follow His promises and not give in to worry. And then you just simply expect. He said there in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, you have so little faith. What He was talking about there is we don't expect God to fulfill His promises. But the truth of the matter is that life is about faith. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. And so you just simply expect. You expect God to fulfill His promises. And so let's do that right now. Let's take a moment to bow our heads before the Lord. And let's take this opportunity to admit. Father God, we do admit that too often in our lives we have worried about our future, whether it be our finances or our family and friends, maybe even our relationship with you, that how on earth can we possibly measure up to your standards? Maybe it's a worry or fear over our health in the future or how that's all going to play out. Father God, we admit this morning that we far too often have acted like an atheist and have not depended on your promises. And so we ask you this morning, we humbly ask you to have the strength to follow your promises. These five amazing promises that we have talked about this morning that truly cover everything in life. That when we depend on your promises, that there is nothing to worry about. And then, Lord, we commit. We commit by faith to believing in your promises and expecting them to come true in our life. And Lord, I imagine that there are some here this morning that have really struggled in this area of worry because of their health, because of their finances, maybe a multiple of things. And so, Lord, I ask you right now that because of your love, because of your grace and your mercy, and due to your promises in our life, that those who trust in you will have renewed strength. That we know that you are in control. And we can place our life in your hands. And so we make that affirmation again this morning. That you are our Lord and Savior. We thank you for your love for us. And we ask you to help us. To be with us. For we know you are. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.